Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome. It is day three of the Billie Jean King Cup by Gamebridge Finals in Seville. And joining us from Seville, once again, it's Matt Roberts. Hello, Matt.
Hello. Yes, I think I'm about an hour earlier than I was last night, which does mean that press conferences are still going on. And I am sitting in the room next door to the press conference room. So hopefully no noise will bleed through. But if it does, then it may be Magda Linette telling you the spicy secrets of the tennis world, as she keeps promising.
Well, hang on. You interviewed Magda Linette a couple of days ago and there was nothing spicy about it.
No, it was, in fact, it was so unmemorable I didn't even mention it.
which is fine. You can't be exciting in every interview. It's just don't promise spicy secrets if you can't deliver on that. David Law is here from Solihull. How are you doing, David?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm introducing you both like you're on blind date, but it's the vibe I've fallen upon.
Do you know I once went for an audition for blind date?
What? Screw what? The Billie Jean King Cup. We're doing 45 minutes on this.
And we probably need to explain to people who
I'm
are...
I'm so shook.
We probably need to explain to people who are older than... How old would you need to be in Britain to have seen Blind Date?
The one with, well, Matt knows what it is.
The one with Cilla Black presenting it. And we also need to be able to explain to anybody who's not from Britain what Blind Date is. Should we start there?
It's like an early incarnation. It's a dating show.
Hmm. Yes. Yes.
Like an analog era dating show. There were three there was one picker, one sort of prized. Think of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Yes.
And there were three potential suitors in each round for each bachelor or bachelorette.
Yes.
And there'd be a screen between the bachelor or bachelorette and the potential suitors. And the host was Cilla Black, and she would introduce everybody involved with, hello, what's your name, where'd you come from? And then the bachelor or bachelorette would proceed to ask three questions of each of the potential suitors. And if you didn't have puns, David, you didn't stand a chance, was my take.
And as you know, I don't like
puns. They'd end up
puns.
Choosing, the screen would come down, they'd be sent off on a holiday, they'd come back, be interviewed by Cilla Black, awkwardly. I think there were one or two lasting relationships. Anyway, tell us everything.
I really didn't expect the night to be going this direction. In fact, I haven't thought about this audition for probably 25 years. So hence why you don't know about it. Yes, I would have been, I guess, about 18, 19, something like that. Single. And
just as well.
a blind date watcher. And I kind of liked the idea of being on the telly. So when I saw the opportunity to go to Birmingham to a hotel to audition for Blind Date, I thought I'd have a go. And off I went. And I got.
What did the audition entail?
I got through the first round, would you believe?
Were you a picker or a picky?
They didn't really do all that. No. It was just a conversation with a producer type whilst we were in a group. And I managed to make one or two people laugh. And that got me through the first round. The second round didn't go so well, I have to be honest.
I can't believe you're telling this tale on your wife's birthday, David. It's like a sliding doors moment.
Yes. Now, the second one was much more where you had to not just be like yourself. You had to be...
Had to be telly.
You had to be a pun.
You had to have the puns.
Yeah. And I hadn't thought of any puns.
Is this why you don't like puns? Is it some sort of trauma from round two of the Blind Date audition?
They just wind me up.
You had to have 80s sexual innuendo puns.
Yeah.
And it's not really David's. I didn't know David back then.
It was never me.
But it's not David's vibe, is it?
No. I'm somebody who doesn't like to. No, I don't. I would never have worked in that setting at all. So what I was thinking, Lord only knows. So anyway, I got rejected from that, and here I am on a tennis podcast.
And here we are. Wow! Follow that with your lunch tales, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I actually feel very relaxed now because whatever I have to offer to this podcast, it's still going to be a memorable podcast because it will always be the one where David talked about his Blind Date audition. So I think we're off the hook for the need for good content for the next half an hour. David's already provided it.
Well, what have you got over the next half hour, Matt? I think I would like to start with the fact that we ended last night's podcast with me asking you what to look out for on day three of the Billie Jean King Cup. Eager listeners will have been listening thinking, oh, yeah, I'll take Matt's word as gospel. I will look out for Elena Rybakina on day three of the Billie Jean King Cup. Well, they're still looking, Matt, because she was a no-show for Kazakhstan's tie against Australia, and it might have cost them. They lost that tie. Two rubbers to one to Australia. And in spite of that, they are out of the competition. We'll come on to that slightly strange scenario in a moment. But first, the Rybakina of it all. What's happened?
So, yes, she did apparently give an interview yesterday to the World Feed where she said that she has a bad back. And she blamed that on Cancun and on the courts in Cancun and just the whole situation.
Worse.
Cancun's still catching strays even after they've packed up the court.
So, you know, despite my boots on the ground here, I did somehow miss that fact yesterday. I'm very sorry, tennis podcast listeners, but I did learn that today, so I was able to put that to Yaroslava Shvedova, the Kazakhstan captain, in the press conference and just try and get a little bit more information. I must say, a Slovenian journalist who I am enjoying very much in the press conferences because he's very blunt and very to the point, got in there a little bit before me and said, hi, I'm Yuri from Slovenian newspaper. And why didn't Elena Rybakina play today? And Shvedova said, we're using our secret weapons. And then the journalist said, so are you keeping it a secret again for tomorrow? And she said, we'll see. He said, is it an option that she will play tomorrow? And Shvedova said, anything can happen. So I wasn't too sort of convinced by these answers from Shvedova. So I said, please sort of give us some more detail on Rybakina. What is happening? And she said, again, she blamed Cancun. She said, everyone in Cancun, pretty much, who played there and travelled here has ended up injured or unwell after that tournament. She's one of those. She's struggling with her back. Hopefully it's going to heal soon. But it doesn't sound convincing to me that she's in a fit state to play this tournament. Now, whether it's an injury from a sort of accumulation of travel, I'm not quite sure. Like that could be it, I suppose, this sort of having to come over here, sudden change of conditions, and maybe the sort of adaptation process is needed. It does sound to me like it's maybe that kind of injury. I did speak to the Kazakhstan sort of press team that are here for the federation, and it wasn't a brilliant conversation. I said, how is Rybakina's back? He said, very bad. I said, so presumably won't play tomorrow. And he said, oh, maybe, which wasn't my definition of very bad, if being able to play tomorrow is an option. So I think we're all slightly in the dark about it. They're keeping their cards close to their chest, everyone in the Kazakhstan team. But that's the reason she wasn't playing today, for sure. She's got a back niggle, and it's a race against time to try and be fit for tomorrow.
And I'm not saying that's not legit, our outrage at what the players that are playing in both events are having to put themselves through in order to do that is well documented. But Storm Sanders today did make a little bit of a mockery of all that, didn't she?
Yes. She just continues to be an incredible player for Australia at these Billie Jean King Cup finals. She's now won 8 of her 10 matches at the Billie Jean King Cup finals across singles and doubles. And, you know, if you go back a couple of years, Storm Hunter was ranked well outside the world's top 100. She wasn't even that much of a factor in doubles either. And the way she has built her doubles career all the way up to being the world number one now, and has become an extremely reliable player in singles as well for Australia, is pretty incredible. And yeah, she did double duty today for Australia. She managed to win her singles match and then combine with Ellen Perez, who also had come over from Cancun, the sort of Cancun duo there. Goodness knows what sort of time zone they're on, but they managed to win the decisive match and get the win for Australia in that tie, even though it does, you know, it wasn't enough to mean that Australia can qualify for the semi-finals. But I think there was some real significance to it because, you know, it's going to be Alicia Molik's last tie as captain, and they really wanted to go out with a win for her. And Storm Hunter was very emotional in the press conference, you know, just thinking about the fact that it was Molik's last tie. She was very pleased to get that win. And yeah, just an absolutely extraordinary effort from Storm Hunter and Ellen Perez. And I do have a good update on Storm Hunter's luggage, which we know that she lost during her journey from Cancun to Seville. And it was brought to her on Tuesday by Laura Siegemund, who was also making the journey from Cancun to Seville. She saw it at the airport, thought it was her bag.
Find it at Madrid Airport or something.
She saw it at the airport, thought it was her bag, and when she looked at the label, she realised it was Storm Hunter's bag. So she texted her and said, shall I bring it to the hotel?
At what point, Matt, because going into this tie, Australia, it was still live and relevant to Australia, and yet at the end of it, by the time that they'd won the tie, it had become redundant. What happened? At what point did it become redundant?
Round robin happened. It's bloody rubbish.
You'll get your moment, David.
Yeah, so what happened was basically they needed to win convincingly. You know, they needed to win, you know.
So Yulia Putintseva happened.
Yeah, basically. they needed to be.
And just before David gets on his soapbox, please explain.
On a number of levels, she happened.
What Yulia Putintseva did today.
So, yeah.
Well, she did exactly what she told you she was going to do.
Exactly. I mean, I thought it was the worst interview I'd ever done, but it actually got all the material that I needed because Yulia Putintseva said she was feeling great and that she was going to play great. And that was exactly what happened in that first set, which she won 6-love, only losing 9 points. And that basically, and coupled with the fact that Putintseva went on to win that match against Kim Birrell, that basically put Australia out of it. You know, they needed to be winning in straight sets. They kind of needed to be winning 3-0 because they'd been beaten in the singles matches very handily by the Slovenians the other day. So if you like, their goal difference was bad and they needed to start making that up. And Putintseva really did put pay to that. But it was a sort of classic Putintseva match in many ways. You know, she was brilliant in that first set, but then the second set got much tighter, and Putintseva at one point slammed her racket down. She did an apology and then started laughing immediately afterwards as if to say that she really wasn't meaning the apology whatsoever. And yeah, it was just a good win for her. And I had a little chat with Kim Birrell afterwards, which couldn't have been more different to my chat with Putintseva the other day, because Kim Birrell was absolutely lovely and just really, really nice. But I did really sort of come away from the interview and the match today thinking, yeah, you know, we all need a Kim Birrell in our lives, but Putintseva really is the sort of person I want on my team in these situations. She's a great fighter and competitor, and you have to give that to her.
So Australia are out, which really, given that by that point they were already out, really underlines the effort from Storm Sanders and Ellen Perez to still win that doubles, to find the motivation to win that doubles, doing it for Alicia Molik and in her last ever Billie Jean King Cup tie. Kazakhstan will face off with Slovenia for a semi-final place to play Italy in the semi-finals, who were already through. We'll come on to that tie in a moment. Italy are through in their group, which means that Germany and France are out before they play what will now be a dead tie. There will be another dead tie between Poland and Spain, who are out, Canada having gone through already in their group with their two wins. There's a lot of dead tennis, meaningless tennis coming up over the next 24 hours, and I'm not looking forward to it. It's not going to end up being a great advert for round robin tennis, this, is it?
And it's all taking place on centre court. The two dead matches tomorrow are on centre court, and the two live matches tomorrow are on court one.
And they can't change that?
I asked and got a no, that won't be changing.
Right, David, you're on. Off you go.
I mean, what's all that about? What an absolute joke. I'm sorry. Round robin tennis is the VAR of tennis. You have these situations where somebody scores a goal, or in the case of Storm Sanders, she fights her heart out to win singles and doubles, and she's celebrating like she's really achieved something, and then it turns out, oh, it's all for nothing. What's the point? What's the point in winning? Have knockout. Everybody knows where they stand. Everybody has to put everything into that little microcosm of opportunity. But if you win, you win. If you lose, you go home. This is nonsense. This business of just trying to work out, is it worth me trying my very hardest at the moment because the mathematics are going to allow it for me to still go through? Or should I just... It's just... That's not sport to me. That is not sport. And I love this competition for many reasons, but I'm so frustrated. I kind of feel like it's amplified and magnified all the more in these competitions than it even is at the WTA and ATP Tour finals. That it just doesn't work. It doesn't work as a as a mechanism for creating excitement and clarity and storytelling and narrative. It doesn't work. Change it. Go knockout. I know, I understand that you may have one bad performance and you've lost a team. Well, Laura Siegmund's turned up and I don't think she's even got to play before she's out, from what I understand. And I just think
that's not something alien to tennis players, though, is it? One bad performance and you're out. That's the sport, usually.
I understand that round robin is popular amongst tournament promoters because you feel you can guarantee, like the ATP finals draw has been made today, hasn't it? And they can guarantee three times that Novak Djokovic will be on the schedule and they can play. I understand all that, but blimey, the other tournaments seem to cope, don't they? With the ones with knockout every week. And it's so much more satisfactory as a mental approach to watching the sport. Stop this nonsense.
Matt, have you got a pithy explanation for why the Billie Jean King Cup Finals is round robin, or at least partially round robin, and the Davis Cup Finals isn't, or isn't any longer? The switch of the Davis Cup Finals format seems to be an admission that it's not good enough. It's got too many flaws in it. So why is the Billie Jean King Cup languishing with the flawed format?
Well, I think I'm right in saying that the Davis Cup just does its round robin earlier in the year. You know, we've had the Davis Cup round robin just a month or so ago in those qualifiers that take place in September after the US Open, where you get four round robins and then they determine the final eight. So there's sort of an extra stage of the Davis Cup competition, whereas the Billie Jean King Cup is a load of qualifiers earlier on in the season, and that determines the 12 who are here at the Billie Jean King Cup finals. So they sort of miss a stage with the Billie Jean King Cup. So I think that's the reason. That's what's different. The new look Davis Cup does have a round robin. It's just not in the finals. And I think I agree. I think the Davis Cup finals format that we saw for the first time last year and that we'll see again in a couple of weeks in Malaga worked better for the finals, the fact that it was knockout straight away and we knew exactly where we stood. So, yeah, that's potentially something for the Billie Jean King Cup to change so that the finals is knockout, because I agree that is better.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
So, Italy will play the winner of tomorrow's match between Kazakhstan and Slovenia. Italy, having gone through courtesy of their second win of the tournament, they beat Germany today 3-0. Martina Trevisan beat the talented young German Ava Lies in straight sets. Jasmine Paolini continues to make a fool of David. She beat Annalena Friedsam 6-3, 6-2, and they won the doubles, Bronzetti and Cocchiaretto, 6-4, 6-7, 11-9. So that puts Germany out of the competition on their first day of competition. They'll still have to play a dead tie against France tomorrow. But Italy, very worthy semi-finalists, Matt.
Yes, absolutely. I've been very impressed with Italy. I wasn't sure whether Tatiana Garbin would go with Martina Trevisan again because she played so much tennis yesterday, but she put her faith back in her and sort of trusted that she would be able to deliver again. And Trevisan came up with, for me, the quote of the day to describe sort of how she managed to win that match today, even though she was feeling very tired this morning. She said, when the legs work less, the heart works more. And, you know, that quote in an Italian accent really sort of got me and sort of did describe what she's like as a tennis player. So she was absolutely immense. Then Paolini thrashed Annalena Friedsam. And in the end, it was quite a comfortable day for Italy. And Garbin, the captain, is fantastic in the press conference room. She just has an ability to get across such meaning and emotion with her words and the way she says it. And she was saying just something very interesting about the way that she took over this Italian Billie Jean King Cup team in 2017. And that was the same time that Trevisan and Paolini came into the team. And Cocchiaretto was just a year later. And I hadn't realized that those players had been around in Billie Jean King Cup for quite so long. And she was talking about the fact that they've totally taken this step-by-step approach and they've really trusted the process. And she said, right now, these days, we're the Amazon generation. We want everything now. We want, you know, we don't want to have to wait for anything. And that kind of made me think a little bit about some of the conversations we've had about another Italian, Jannik Sinner, and the sort of way that he has sort of really trusted the process and, you know, put faith in his sort of long-term approach to the sport. I just sort of noticed the sort of similarity there. And there's this incredible chemistry amongst the Italian players. They've all, as I said, been on this team together now for 4, 5, 6 years. And each year they've just got that little bit better. And now they've found themselves in the semifinals for the first time in almost 10 years. And Paolini herself said that before this week, she didn't really like playing Billie Jean King Cup that much because she felt an immense pressure from all the people in her team. She said, I wasn't able to use that positively. I felt almost burdened by it. But something has clicked this week and she's able to use that support positively and she's playing absolutely brilliant tennis. So I sort of then picked up on all this sort of step-by-step idea and said, well, how do you balance that with the fact that now you're through to the semi-finals? You know, are you satisfied or do you want more? You know, because, you know, there comes a point where, yes, you're pleased with the sort of step-by-step process, but sometimes you have to just grab the opportunity in front of you. And Garbin again said, we're happy, but we're not satisfied because we do want more. We always want more, but they are happy. And she said, we always celebrate our victories, you know, because you have to, because otherwise it just feels like something normal. And she said, it's not normal. We've reached the semifinals for the first time in 10 years. We're happy. We're celebrating. I walk past the Italian team locker room and I can confirm lots of celebrations going on. They're the team that I would want to be part of. They are having the best time at this tournament. All sorts of singing and dancing.
What singing and dancing? I was going to say, what do the celebrations look like? Are we talking about Taylor Fritz and his morose Laver Cup cigar? Or are we talking, you know, just wholesome hugs?
Definitely more the latter, I believe. I mean, the door was closed, right. But I could hear the, you know, the music pumping.
What kind of music?
It was pop songs.
Very specific, Matt. Well done. Mm.
I must say, I didn't.
Sounds like the way
I didn't know the song
music. Yeah. Pop songs.
David, you had things to say about Italy.
Well, I think they've been just brilliant all week long. They've been the team of the tournament so far, and those two players in particular. I mean, look, Jasmine, I'm saying round robin's rubbish. Jasmine Paolini's saying, no, you're rubbish. All right. Because you wrote me off.
Wait till she hears the blind date story, David.
But I mean, she is. I'm so delighted that she's proving me wrong because I think she's a good watch just because of the body language, how into it she is. The same with Trevisan, you know, nightmare to play these two. If you're not on a quick court, if you can't knock them off the court, you're going to have an unpleasant time because they're just going to keep on getting balls back. And that, I mean, I don't know whether the players have said anything, Matt. It looks quite dead, that court, to me. It feels like you've got to do an awful lot of work.
It looks slow
to hit
it?
Winners. And, you know, they're just rallying and rallying and rallying. There was one rally that Trevisan played. I mean, she was playing Lise from Germany, who has that gorgeous backhand and really was penetrating the court. It seemed when the ball was going through the air, you thought, wow, that is a sweet strike. And she would get hold of rallies and she would have streaks and win points. But there was one towards the end where Trevisan just kept on getting these balls back and eventually just turned the tables. And that's how she wins her tennis matches. You know, she's an awkward lefty as it is, but she can just absorb. And yeah, it suits them. And their attitude is helping them win matches. So you can see it on the court going in perfect harmony with what you describe off the court, I feel.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. David's trying to kiss up to the Italians, isn't he? We see right through you, David. Before we get on to the evening ties, now customary discussion about lunch. Matt, marks out of 10 for day 3.
Really poor today. Really bad. 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10.
Worst day yet?
Service or food quality?
Food quality. I mean, we talked yesterday about my love for chicken, and it was chicken croquetas, which I wouldn't normally choose, but it was really the only thing that I vaguely fancied, and it was a poor choice. It was bad. It was really bad. I didn't go to the restaurant for dinner. They brought baguettes. They brought baguettes into the media
in
room. Perhaps word's getting round. Perhaps I'm having influence. Perhaps word's getting round that the food is not good. And they took pity on us tonight in the press room and brought us baguettes. And that was preferable.
He's turned on chicken, folks.
But I should say,
who knows what the next 3 days hold?
I should say the best food thing that happened today was an extraordinary moment where I was presented with a peace offering.
I was coming on to this, Matt. Carry on.
I was walking out of the centre court and I was stopped by a lovely woman brandishing Kazakhstan chocolate, and she said, "This is an apology on behalf of Yulia Putintseva."
An official one, or just in
general, the latter,
on behalf of the country.
So when parents go around sort of quietly apologising for the behaviour of their children at parties and stuff.
So yeah, I'm now the owner of a lovely bar of Kazakhstan chocolate.
We love that. The match that you were stopped as you were leaving from was, am I right in thinking it was the Golubic-Kenin match?
Correct.
Of the USA-Switzerland tie, which was, I knew you'd be watching that. It was a good backhand situation out there, that match. Match of the day, probably?
Yes, I think so. One of the best matches of the tournament so far, I would say. Almost 3 hours. I didn't get to see as much of it as I would like. I was writing at the time through quite a lot of it. I know David watched it, I think, maybe more closely than I did. But it looked like it was going to be done in straight sets. Kenin was in total control. I believe she even had a couple of match points in that second set serving for it. But then the Golubic backhand and the rest of her game started firing. Kenin seemed to be struggling physically. She took some pills. She had her sort of forearm and wrist, I'm not exactly sure, sort of looked at and seen to. But then an incredible effort from her to sort of retake the momentum and end up winning the match. It was sort of some of the best of both players, really. It was a real treat to watch.
Yeah, it was a set in 5-3 actually to Kenin when it started to turn around, and I was watching it and trying to work out. I wonder how much of this is pain, physical pain, and how much of it is anxiety, because she did look like she was getting tense, and I think it almost it might have even manifested itself in pain. That's not to say she didn't have injury or something like that, but she seemed quite on edge, and it was fun to watch that one go back and forth. But I'm only judging body language here, but I felt like Cathy Rinaldi did an excellent job of sort of nurturing Kenin to the finish line a little there. You know, because I think Kenin is a player who suffers from anxiety on the court and gets really wound up sometimes. And Rinaldi just wasn't having it. You know, she was just quietly supportive, in her face, but in a comforting way, but also a sort of, right, go and get it now. You know, it just felt like she was pushing all the right buttons, really, psychologically. And I think that was quite big for Kenin, because there she is, you know, she's been entrusted with the singles berth. Daniel Collins has won the first one. You've got on the sidelines, you've got a US Open champion in Sloane Stephens, and you've got Taylor Townsend, who can play good singles if she needs to as well. And Kenin's been entrusted with this. If she'd have lost that, I think that could have been tough. And she didn't lose it. She was able to win it, hug the captain, and then go and do high tens with all of a team and everything like that. And I just felt like that was a good scene. And I'm quite, you know, I don't care who wins, really, but I worry for her a little bit occasionally. And I'm pleased to see that she did it for the team, and they responded to her like that.
And it now brings up the prospect. Switzerland are out, and we have a playoff, essentially, between essentially a knockout, David, between the USA
and Czechia, how about that?
For the chance to play Canada in the semi-finals. Yes, please, to this one. I feel like this is what the week so far is needing. This tie, this moment, this, you know, this being a knockout match, unfortunately, it's going to be happening at the same time as a dead tie on the center court. That's a bit of a bummer, but it's happening. And the prize is that the winner gets to play Canada in the semifinals, and that's because Canada followed up their victory yesterday over Spain, came back just hours later, and beat Poland. I've written down two love, because we're in that situation again where the doubles is still happening. It is entirely immaterial, so it might end up being 2-1, might end up being 3-love, but the most important thing you need to know is that Canada won their two singles ties. Marina Stakušić, who we introduced you and ourselves to yesterday, beat Magdalena Freck 4-6, 7-5, 6-3. And Leila Fernandez, not all that long ago, polished off Magdalenette in two straight sets. And, you know, all due respect to Poland, who are obviously just so... It's just such a blow for them. Iga Świątek felt unable to play, and I respect that. She, all other things being equal, she wanted to play, but she felt like it was too much, and I get it. But I'm pleased that Canada are going to feature in the latter stages of this tournament.
Yeah, totally. They've been one of the stories of the week, really, I would say, because Stakusic coming from sort of nowhere to have a couple of wins now against players ranked, I think, both in the 60s that she's beaten, which is just an incredible step up for her. She's now won 9 matches in a row indoors. And I think today was almost doubly impressive because, you know, honestly, I thought, well, you know, is she going to possibly be able to back that up, you know, and play that well again the next day? And she was struggling in this match. She was down a set and a break to Magdalena Freck. It looked like she was going to lose, and she had the resilience and the fight to completely turn the match on its head and play the sort of tennis she played yesterday. She played again today, but in much higher pressure moments. You know, it was quite easy for her yesterday because, you know, it was so one-sided. But today it was tight, and she managed to play well. It was extraordinary. And then Leila Fernandez, as we discussed yesterday, if she's anything close to her 2021 US Open self, she's one of the best things in tennis. And she's been really, really good in her couple of matches here. And yeah, this is only the second time ever and the first time since 1988 that Canada have been in the semifinals of the Billie Jean King Cup. And what's quite interesting about that is back in 1988, it was the format of the competition was such that it was all held in one place. All of the tournament in 1988 took place at Flinders Park in Melbourne. And it wasn't until 1995 that the home and away format came in to make it more like the Davis Cup. But yeah, when it started out, and certainly in 1988 when Canada reached the semis, it was kind of like it is now, all being held in one place. But crucial difference, it was knockout and not round robin.
Wow, love that.
Learn from the past. Yeah.
So Canada through, they have no remaining ties to play. This is what we still have in the group, the round robin stages for you on Friday, day 4 of the Billie Jean King Cup. The final day, David, of round robin tennis. It's all, well, until Sunday when the ADP final starts. But it, for a brief time, it's ending at the end of tomorrow. We have Czechia against the USA, and that is a decisive tie, and it's the tie of the day tomorrow. I can't wait. Kazakhstan against Slovenia with the potential for possible maybe Rybakina. I like the sort of air of mystery that's being created around that with the caginess of the... of Yaroslav Shvedova and the whole Kazakhstan team. So Kazakhstan-Slovenia is a decisive tie. And then we have the two utterly, completely, totally corpse-like dead ties, Spain against Poland and France against Germany. But that's a shame that those two are happening, and they're happening on centre court. That is a terrible shame. But the two ties that we do have should be great, shouldn't they?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, I'm pumped, big time. It's going to be a good day overall. We're just going to ignore the rubbish ones.
Yeah, well said. Well, that's coming up tomorrow on day 4 of the Billie Jean King Cup Finals. We'll be back, of course, with another podcast. I have one more agenda item for you though before we wrap this one up. It's about socks, folks. Don't all tune out. I have an exciting sock announcement. What are the best kind of socks, David? Free socks.
Free socks.
Free high-quality socks are absolutely the best kind. And you can get free socks from the Tennis Podcast Shop. Starting tomorrow at 9 a.m., that's Friday the 10th of November at 9 a.m., and running until midnight Sunday the 12th of November, the Tennis Podcast Shop will be providing a free pair of bamboo socks. And I have a big collection of bamboo socks that I wear for dog walking, and they are excellent. A free pair of bamboo socks with every order of £25 and over. So you can get yourself a lovely item of Tennis Podcast merch and free socks. Just Google Tennis Podcast Shop or click on Shop from the Tennis Podcast website and choose what you want to buy. We've got T-shirts, sweatshirts and hoodies with the Tennis Podcast on the front and various items within the mix, on the boat or I Love Tennis on the front. We have lots of different sizes and colours, all of which at various different times have been modelled by both my parents. So let us know if you want, you know, modelling photos so we can send privately. Go and have a look. And then but that was weird, wasn't it? No one's going to send me DMs asking for pictures of my parents.
Unfortunately, I think
go and have a look. The code you need is SOCKY. S-O-C-K-Y. It's written here in all caps. I don't know whether the caps are crucial, but just to be safe, pop your caps lock on. SOCKY is the code, S-O-C-K-Y. Pop that in at the checkout to get yourself that free pair of socks between 9 a.m. Friday UK time and midnight Sunday. And that's it for day three of the Billie Jean King Cup Finals, except for our housekeeping. And that is to say that my mascot is Xenia. Hello, Xenia. David's is Maisie.
Amazing.
And Matt is Darwin. Billie Jean is currently in custody of Matt and Millie. Hello, Billie Jean.
I thought it was quiet.
And is sponsored by Billie Jean King and Alana Kloss. We have our top folks and executive producers. I'm going to mix up the order again. Drew, Jamie and Hannah. Hello to you.
Ooh.
And we have shout-outs, Matt.
We do have shout-outs. We have a special shout-out section today. Only two shout-outs because these two have to be together. This is a shout-out for Matthew Moffitt and Lynn Rasmussen, who newsletter subscribers and readers will know are taking us on at predictions this year. And one of my very favourite things
successfully
of 2023 has been watching the growing friendship of Matthew and Lynn. We have a WhatsApp group and I genuinely think they are lifelong friends now, and I love being in a WhatsApp group with them. They're friends of mine now, and I met Matthew at the US Open. I cannot wait for Matthew and Lynn to meet. I can't wait to meet Lynn myself. Yeah, they're just great people. They've been great sort of addition to my life in 2023. And yeah, I had to give them a shout out together because I think of them together.
I'm on the verge of tears. That was so lovely.
That was lovely.
I cried in a Dog's Trust advert earlier, Matt.
Marvelous.
I'm not feeling emotionally strong enough for shout outs like that.
Matthew like Matthew Roberts and Lynn like... Oh,
you've got to come up with one or I'll do an Alan Partridge gag that nobody understands, David. Lynn. Lynn. I pierced my foot on a spike.
Okay, that works.
I gave you a chance, David. Anyone got any tennis Lynns?
No.
Hey, well, I've got one.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Tennis podcast
Hello,
listener,
Lynn.
Folks.
Hello to both the Lynns.
Also composer and...
poor old Lin-Manuel Miranda came after Lynn from Alan Partridge. As it should be. Iconic comedy character. Right. Before I stop...
Lin-Manuel Miranda and Blind Date.
Legends. Thank you very much for listening, folks. We're loving doing these pods. I am still reeling from tonight's revelations. I need a little bit of time to process, quite frankly. I'm sure you do too.
before or after packing?
Yeah, haven't packed for Turin yet. My flight is in 15 hours' time. Bags of time.
Just don't sleep and you'll be fine.
Yes. I'm usually good with packing, but I couldn't face it. I'm going to have to face it or I'll be wearing the same pants for 10 days. But up to now, I have not been able to face it. But I will, folks. I will. I've got standards. On that note, thank you for listening. As always, tell your friends, leave us a review, follow us on Instagram. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.